Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Beitza is daf Yud Ches. We're behind. We're back on daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, and we are continuing our discussion of Erev Tavshilin. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned the Zech Nishmas Los Lupin Zaltzman. Erev Tavshilin has been our discussion since the beginning of the second parak. We started the second parak just a couple of short days ago. Erev Tavshilin is a hecker. It reminds us that on Yontif we also have Shabbos, meaning in a scenario where I have Yontif and Shabbos, which are back-to-back to one another. Yontif is on a Friday, or of course here in Chutz Laaretz, Yontif could even be on a Thursday, Friday. So the Chachamim said, don't forget about Shabbos. So as a result of that, we put up an Erev Tavshilin. That was an oversimplification, but if you've been with us for the past couple of days, so you heard, I discussed Erev Tavshilin in more detail, in terms of how exactly it works. So we have been discussing over the past couple of days exactly what it has to be. Over the course of yesterday, we expanded our definition of what a tafshil is. Tafshil doesn't have to be something which is cooked. It can't be bread. Bread can't be your Erev Tavshilin, the Gemara said the other day, because bread is ubiquitous food. It's a staple food. It's something which doesn't accessorize bread. You don't dip your bread into bread. And so, therefore, it's not going to be bread. What is it going to be? So it has to be some sort of cooked food. But as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, it doesn't have to be cooked. It could be roasted. The Gemara doesn't say fried. I was thinking fried also. The Gemara doesn't say fried. But it could be roasted. It could be cooked, overcooked. I'm just looking back at the Gemara yesterday. It could be poured hot water over it. Okay, anyway, an expanded form of cooking. Okay, yesterday we finished off with the Gemara interjecting. Not really sure what it's doing here, but the Gemara interjected with how to daven on Yontif and Shabbos when they coincide. I guess it's the idea of concurrence, but okay, whatever. Somehow it made it into our Gemara. Amar Chia Barashi Amar Rav. We are in the middle of Yizayin Amud Aleph, right in the middle of the Amud, and now we are beginning with the Gemaras regarding. And remember yesterday we also had the discussion of when you have Yontif and Shabbos, Yontif being on Friday and Shabbos being the next day, and I forgot to set up my Erev Tchum and I forgot to set up my Erev Chatzeros, so can I set it up on Yontif? That was our big discussion yesterday. The conclusion of the Gemara was, no, you can't. You can't set up either one of them. There was a svar in the Gemara to make a distinction between an Erev Chatzeros from an Erev Tchum, but the Gemara ends up saying, you can't do either. Okay. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav Minich Adam, Eruvit Chumim Miyom Tov Chaver Umasna. This is a halacha that, truth of the matter is, we saw this version of this halacha earlier in the Masechta. But now we're discussing in the context of Erev Tchum. Okay, so first of all, let's set up the scenario we're talking about where it's a 2-day Yontif, and then Shabbos immediately afterwards. So on a 2-day Yontif, with Shabbos immediately afterwards, so again, as we learned in yesterday's Gemara, I can't set up my Erev Tchum on Yontif the day before Shabbos. Okay, it's tikkun, it's a hachana. Okay, in other words, that you can't do. But let's say it's 2 days Yontif, and let's not talk about Rosh Hashanah because that makes things more complicated. But just a simple 2-day Yontif prior to Shabbos, and on the first day of Yontif, I'm now remembering I did not set up an Erev Tchum for Shabbos, and I wanted to set up an Erev Tchum for Shabbos. Erev Tchum, as we discussed yesterday, that allows me to walk an additional 2,000 amos on Shabbos. In one direction. So the Gemara says, quoting in the name of Rav, that you could do so on day one of the 2-day Yontov, and you can make it tonight, you can make a condition. And basically the condition will work as follows. We know that we observe a 2-day Yontov because of Safik. Sveik Adiyama, we don't know exactly which day was Rosh Chodesh, and the time where, before they fixed the calendar, we who lived in Bavel, we who did not have communication with Eretz Yisrael, we don't know when there was which day was Rosh Chodesh, so therefore we observe 2 days of Yontov, but that's Mishum Safik. We do know that of those 2 days of Yontov, only one of them is actually Yontov. So here's what we're entitled to do with that knowledge. We can, on the first day of Yontov, say, look, I'm going to observe both these days of Yontov. That goes without saying. But what I'm going to do is as follows. I'm going to lay down my Erev Tchum today, and I'm going to say, if today is Yontif, so then my Erev Tchum is obviously ineffective. I can't actualize it on Yontif. It'll obviously work tomorrow. And if tomorrow is Yontif, so then today I'm setting up my Erev Tchum. And so therefore, with the knowledge that I'm going to observe the 2 days of Yontif, but only one of them is actually Yontif, so I can lay down my Erev Tchum and make such a Tanai. The Gemara says that works. Amar Rava, Meniach Adam Eruvei Tavshilim Yontif Achaver Umasna. Now, Rava makes the exact same statement, but he doesn't say it regarding Tchum, he says it regarding Erev Tavshilin. So Rava says, I can make Erev Tavshilin on day one of Yontif, Again, two-day Yontif going into Shabbos. So on day one of Yontif, so you'll sit down and the Tanai will be very simple. It's the same exact Tanai. I'm going to set down my Erev Tavshilon today. If today's Yontif, obviously, I can't make Erev Tavshilon on Yontif, so therefore tomorrow will not be Yontif. My Erev Tavshilon will be affected tomorrow. If tomorrow is Yontif, so then my Erev Tavshilon obviously works today. Good. And by the way, Rashi says on day two, you don't have to repeat your Tanai. Okay, the Tanai that you made on day one will be sufficient. Good. Two Amorayim, one being Rav, and the other being Rava, okay, not the same generation, and both of them making a declarative statement that you can make a Tanai. Rav says you can make the Tanai regarding Erev Tchumim, and Rava says you can make the Tanai regarding Erev Tavshilon. The Gemara says they may not necessarily agree with one another. The Gemara says, Man dam Erev Tchumim kol shekein Erev Tavshilon. Now, if you say that you can make a Tanai regarding Erev Tchum, meaning if you hold like Rav, you for sure hold like Rava. Because Erev Tchum is a bigger deal, which we'll explain in just a moment, why that is. So if you can make a Tanai, quote-unquote, play around, we're not really playing around, I hope everyone understands, but if you can make a Tanai regarding your Erev Tchum, you for sure can make it regarding Erev Tavshilon. But the converse is not true. Now, if you hold like Rava, who says that you can make a Tanai regarding Erev Tavshilon, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to agree by Erev Tchum. Erev Tchumim is a bigger deal. Why is it a bigger deal? Says the Gemara, my time until Mikdash Shvisa b'Shabbos Alo. Because Erev Tchumim requires me to do what? B'Konesh Shvisa. I'm acquiring a new residence using the Erev Tchum, as we discussed yesterday, and through a good part of the Masechta Erevin. When I'm establishing an Erev Tchum, really what I'm doing is I'm creating a new address. I have a new Makom Shvisa, I have a new point of center. And I'm doing that, and the Erev is a means of acquisition. So essentially what I'm doing now is I'm acquiring. Not like Erev Tavshil and Erev Tavshil, and since we started the second Perek. So the way we described it is the Hecker. It's there, it serves as a reminder. But you're not doing any actual act of acquisition by setting up the Erev Tavshilin. But when it comes to Erev Tchumim, that is an actual Kenyan. And as Rashi points out over here, it's a strong Rashi. Rashi says, Miknei Shvisa b'Shabbaso. Rashi says, Lav Dafka, I'm sorry, Right, Rashi says that Lav Dafka Shabbaso Nakad El Yomtov Kari Shabbaso Lo Hitir Lo Likna Shvisa B'Yomtov Afilo Misafik. So the Rashi makes a point which I should have pointed out in the Gemara. Right, the Gemara says you're not allowed to create a kinyan on Shabbos. You're not doing the kinyan on Shabbos. You're doing it on Yontif. Okay, but in this context, Yontif Shabbos, same basic idea. Meaning I can't make acquisitions on Shabbos nor on Yontif. The Afilum is Suffolk. And now, granted, as Rashi acknowledges, I don't know which day is Yontif. It's either one day or the other day. I don't know which day is Yontif, but still, the idea is that I'm observing both of those days as Yontif.
Is he making an Erev on both days?
No, he's making it one of the days.
One of the days.
That's all. And in other words, it's just whichever day is not Yontif. But still, Erev Tchum is the Kenyan, and Rashi says
48 hours if he's making it.
He only needs it to be Kona at one point. Only at one point. What?
Let's say he's making it on Wednesday afternoon, right?
Right. No, but the Gemara is talking about where he forgot Wednesday afternoon. The Gemara right now is talking about the scenario where on day one of Yontif, now it all of a sudden dawns upon him that he needs to set it up.
So it's Thursday.
So now again, so the Gemara's discussion. Okay, we'll come back. The imitir be'eruv v'tavshilon ha'asam ishim kavet Shabbos itiru. And Rashi says, now look, we're going to be more makeup regarding eruv tavshilon, but Rashi says, but I'll tell you why. Well, Rashi doesn't say this, but A, there's no kinyan, and B, what's the point of Erev Tavshilin? It's covered Shabbos. I set up the Erev Tavshilin. Remember, that's what we said from the beginning of the second paragraph. The purpose of Erev Tavshilin is to remind me that Shabbos is here, and don't get lost. Meaning, don't lose Shabbos in the exuberance of Yontif. So that's the whole purpose of Erev Tavshilin. So okay, so there'll be more makel regarding setting up the Erev Tavshilin using the suffix against one another. But Erev Tchumim, which is an actual kinyan, I'm acquiring a Makom Shvisa, so then Rava would not necessarily be as makel as Rav.
But this goes back to the discussion that Rava had with Rabashi. Rabashi would not hold by this, that Erev Tavshilin, that you could make it on Yontif.
You can't make it on one day of Yontif, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about making it on 2 days of Yontif, and using the fact that only one of them is actually Yontif. Okay. Tan Rabbanan Einofim Yontif Chaver. You cannot you can't bake from one day of Yontif to the next. Bake here, bake meaning cook, same basic idea. In other words, on the 2 days of Yontif, you can't prepare from one day of Yontif to the next day of Yontif. The Emes Amru Mamala Isha Kolakadera Basar Afa Pishan Sricha Ella Lechaticha Achas. But then the Brisa here says Be'emes Amru. We know every time that the Brisa says uses, or for that matter the Mishnah, uses the words Be'emes Amru. Be'emes Amru means this, that this is an established halacha. This is something where there is no debate whatsoever. So Be'emes Amru, so they stated as an established halacha that a woman can fill the entire pot with meat, knowing full well that she only needs one piece of meat. You can fill up the entire urn with water, cooking the entire urn on day one, knowing that you only need but just one cup. But in terms of baking, you can only bake one loaf at a time. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar disagrees, and he says, no, even when it comes to baking, you can bake an entire oven's worth of bread, even though you only need one. Putting more bread in the oven is beneficial for each loaf, and therefore you can fill the oven with bread. This is what's called in halacha ribui b'shiurim. In other words, what essentially the Brisa is teaching us is that on Yontif, I don't have to figure quantity. Meaning, we have a heter to cook on Yontif. We're going to cook a pot of food. I don't have to sit there and gauge how many people are eating by us. Well, I'm only allowed to cook for Yontif. So maybe I have to sit there and now start figuring, well, he's going to eat this much, and he's going to eat that much, and she's going to eat that much, and therefore I have to limit myself to how much I can cook. In one single pot, you can put as much meat as you want. In one single pot, you can put as much water as you want. The bread, debatable. But Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar takes the makel position, and Amar Rava halacha ka Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And Rava says that the halacha, in fact, follows like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And so therefore, the Gemara over here endorses totally, with almost no reservation, and the Gemara, even on this last point, the Gemara's makel, the idea of ribu b'shiurim, so that when you cook in one pot, in one oven, in one urn, you could put as much food as you want and do the one act of cooking, and that would be acceptable. Is this halacha ribu b'shiurim limited to Yontif? Meaning, what about on Shabbos? Now, that's a funny question that I just asked. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to cook. But if in the event that you're cooking on Shabbos, pikuach nefesh, so are you allowed to engage in types of ribu b'shiurim? That is a major debate amongst the Rishonim. But anyway, but certainly on Yontif, the Gemara over here endorses the idea. Next, Ibai Lahu. Mishalo inich eruv etavshilin hu nesar v'kimcho nesar, odemo hu nesar v'in kimcho nesar. Okay, Gemara over here has an interesting question. You didn't set up an eruv tavshilin. So as we already learned in the past couple days, since the beginning of the second parak, so the first time you can call it a mistake. You can call it an error. I forgot. There's a lot going on before Yontif. I forgot. So then you have a Rav in your community. The Rav in your community made the Erev Tifshilin on your behalf. Good. You can rely on the Rav. But as we saw in yesterday's Gemara, on Tazayin Amad Aleph, that's not always going to help you. In other words, there are going to be scenarios in which you made up an Erev Tifshilin. You neglect to put up an Erev Tifshilin, and you're a habitual neglector. Year in, year out, you stop. You don't do the Erev Tavshilin. It's okay. I don't need to. The Rav made it for me. So the Gemara said yesterday, that's no good. Meaning that you can't do. You can't habitually rely on the Rav's Erev Tavshilin. On an occasion, you can default to the Rav's Erev Tavshilin, but you can't be a habitual neglector. And if you are, you don't have an Erev Tavshilin. Meaning, obviously, you didn't set one up yourself, and you can't rely on the Rav's. Good. Now the Gemara wants to know that's all we did that yesterday. The Gemara now wants to advance the conversation in the following manner. We now know that your Erev Tavshilin no longer, I mean, you didn't make one. So good. So now you cannot cook from Yontif to Shabbos. Can somebody go into your house and cook your food from Yontif to Shabbos? You are banned from cooking. Now when we say that you are banned, obviously this is rabbinic. But fine, the Chachamim have the power to do so. You are now banned to cook from Yontif to Shabbos. Now, if you want to ignore the Chachamim, I can't help you with that. But I'm saying, but you're banned. Is the ban limited to you, or is the ban also to your food as well? Did the Chachamim put a Isser on your food as well? This is the Gemara's question. If they put a ban on your food, what does that mean? It means now that not only can you not cook from Yantif to Shabbos, but it means that you can't even ask your neighbor to come in and say, look, I'm sorry. I have remorse. I didn't put up my Erev Tavshil in. You know what? I should have. I didn't. And I know I can't cook from Yantif to Shabbos. Would you be able to come into my house and cook my food from Yantif to Shabbos? Interestingly enough, let's see where the Gemara goes with this discussion. Okay, so this is the Gemara's question. Is your food, is your kemach going to be asar? Okay, so the Gemara says, here's what's going to have to happen. What's going to have to happen is that if you want your food cooked on Yantif for Shabbos, you're going to have to make an acquisition. You're going to have to be makne your food to somebody else. If you and your food become usher, so you're going to have to sell your food, or not sell, right, transfer. Gift your food to somebody else. However, if it's on the Yisr, Yisr is only on you, but not on your food. So you don't have to transfer your food to somebody else. My, so the Gemara says, after raising the question, the Gemara says, what's the resolution? Tashma, the Gemara quotes now a Braisa. Mishal aniach erev tashlun harizah lo yafa v'lo yivasha v'lo yatmin lo v'lo acherim. You can't cook your food, neither for yourself nor for others. V'lo acherin ofen amavashin lo. And others can't cook or bake for you. Ketzadu ose, makne kimcho la'acherim. You transfer your kemach to others. V'ofen lo mevashin lo. And then and only then can they bake and cook for you. Shema mina hu nesar v'kimcho nesar. So that teaches us that both you and your kemach are usher. Shema mina. So the Gemara says, good, we concluded. Okay. Oh, is everyone happy with the way I presented the Gemara? That's a funny question. I mean, I presented the Gemara just as it simply reads on the page. But did you... Okay. But did you see what just happened in the Gemara? Gemara raised... The question is pretty straightforward. Meaning, the question is, we know that you're banned from cooking. Is the Isser also go to your food as well? And the Gemara says, yes, it does. And the Gemara therefore says, so therefore you have to transfer it. Okay. Now, it doesn't bother me at all transferring on Yantif. We've discussed time and again that you can transfer food from one person to another. Right? You can go to the store, you could buy on Yantif. Right? We talked about this a couple of days ago. Good. You know what's funny in this whole discussion? Is that you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. You're banned from cooking. Your food now is asur. And all you need to do now is transfer the food to somebody else. And right. And your food becomes mutter. Right? That's the way I just read the Gemara, the way I just presented the Gemara, which is, again, I just read the words on the page. Okay? It's very straightforward. I didn't do anything that fancy. But huh? Right, it's correct. But there, the Isser is ownership, and here the Isser is eating. In other words, you're not allowed to eat the food. There's a rabbinic prohibition. Let's say it like this. Okay, good. There's a rabbinic prohibition to eat the food because you didn't put up an Erev Tavshilin. Okay, why it's prohibited? Because, again, you were negligent, and you're habitual, so therefore there's a rabbinic ban on eating your food. And the way the Gemara presents it is, okay, I know there's an Isser Derabanan on your food, but you sell it, and the Isser goes away.
So it's a Knas. It was arbitrarily applied.
Okay. Right, but usually if the Knas is on you, great. But the Knas is on your food.
Is it considered like
a Panim Chadash? Okay, so I'm telling you, the strength of this question is such where, I'm obviously, I have a direction which I'm going. The strength of this question is such, look at the Baam Tosfos on the Amud, where the Baam Tosfos says can't be. The way I presented the Gemara cannot be. You cannot have something where there's an Issur Derabanan, not on the person, not on the Gavra, but on the food, and you're going to transfer the food, and that's it? And Issur goes away because you transferred? So Tosos says, Kasha, Vitema, sorry. Baam Tosos, Vitema. Hol v'kimcho nesa, ma mo'al ha'kaniya la'acherim, miyachol l'salik ha'issur shabo, kidei sheyuchol, sheyuchol hu atzmo, acha shenesar. Your food's Issur, you sell it, and that's it. Isser's gone. Va'od kasha kevin shu nesar me'ezat tam yemutar she'achem ofen b'shvilo v'chi achem yichol nasos b'shvilo mashu atzmo eni yichol lasos b'shvil atzmo. And another basic fundamental question: I can't cook my food. Okay, others. Okay, go ahead. What do you mean? You could do something with my food that I myself can't do with my food? Strange. The whole thing is strange. Lakain niridli. And Tosus is not going to give a fancy answer. to this. Meaning the questions that Tosos is asking are so basic and so straightforward that Tosos' answer, not fancy, Tosos says, Girsa of the Gemara is not the way I presented it. But rather, Hachi Garcin and Iyamar to Unesar, Vein Kibchonesar, Matzelaknu Kimcholachem, Vaaz Moa HaKinyan. If the ban is only on you, so then you could use a Kinyan. Iyamar Hunesar, Vein Kibchonesar, Lo Matzelaknu Ye. But if the ban is on both on you and on your food, you can't make a Kinyan. Kimcholachem, Dehalo Moa Kinyan. Because then the Kinyan doesn't help. And then Tosa says, and then what? And then not only are we going to change the girsa of the question, we're going to have to also change the girsa of the conclusion. And then the Gemara, and then Tosa says, and how does the whole discussion end? And then the conclusion of the Gemara is that you're prohibited from cooking, but not your food. And that's why you're going to have to make an acquisition of your food to somebody else. Yeah, in other words, correct. Meaning, I'm not...
Why does it have to be an acquisition? Just give it to somebody else to cook it, but as it is, keep it in its own food.
Right, correct. And I guess...
He's not doing it. He's not...
I guess the Issa Durabban, the ban, is the... As Dr. Michelle points out, it's a knas. And if the knas is only on you, so that means as long as that food is connected to you, so then it's prohibited. Once there's a disconnection between the food and you, then and only then will the kinyan work. But Tosos says, but it can't be that the kenas is going on the food, and then you could sell the food, and then the kenas gets lifted from the food. That can't be. So Tosos says a different girsa. No fancy answer. Just simply, we're gonna have to. Does he change the girsa? Does he have another girsa? Looks like he has another girsa. Okay. Anyway, basic.
Can you make a kinyan on food? It has to be.
No, right. Yesterday's discussion was using a kinyan seder, and that which you use for kinyan seder is food that you can't do, but to actually gift food to somebody else, so that you can do. Okay, so anyway, Ibai Lahu, we're back to the Gemara. Last question of the Erev Tavshilin. Okay, in our last discussion in the Gemara of Erev Tavshilin. So Ibai Lahu, Avra v'Afamai. Okay. You didn't set up an Erev Tavshilin and you were a repeat offender. Okay. You shouldn't cook now. You're done. And as the Gemara just concluded, you can be matna your food to others, and that will work. Fine. But now, you're being stubborn. Okay? I know a couple of Jews who are. Just one or two. And so, and what you decide to do now is, I know I didn't set up an Erev Tavshilin. I know I shouldn't cook. I don't care. And I'm going to do it anyway. Now, anytime the Gemara asks these types of questions, it is a little bit strange, a little bit funny. Because if you think about the personality of who we're talking about, I mean, this person really at this juncture is not going to be that particularly interested in the halacha. Meaning, if avar, right, the Gemara's question now of avar va'afa, right, violating the issur d'rabban and the ban against him, and he cooked anyway, and now what? Meaning, at this point in time, does he really care? And I understand. In other words, it's a little bit strange that we're discussing this kind of person, this kind of personality. Generally speaking, at this point, he's for Brent. He's whatever. You're, in context, you'll understand. So the he's done, huh?
We have seen cases where it was just
a miss of a bottom,
and we did it anyway.
Okay, fine. And anyway, the question goes like this: Avar v'afamai. So what if he violated the isser and he cooked anyway? So can he eat it? Now, we have a general idea that throughout Shas, the Gemara happens not to bring it up right now, but Makoch based in Yafeh. Like, strange, right? Meaning, he didn't step his Erev Tavshilin, he's an habitual offender, and the Chachamim placed a Kenas on him, and if he does it anyway, well, maybe it'll be okay. Well, that's going to be weird, because if that's true, then what was the point of putting the ban on altogether? Meaning, didn't you want the ban so that to discourage him from doing this again? Okay, so... I understand it's a strange discussion that we're having, but the Gemara is entertaining, so let's entertain. So, Ibai Luavra Vafamai, Tashma Mishlo Inech Eribu Tevshilin Ketzer Oza, Maknikim Cholachem, Vachirin Ofen Lo Mevashin Lo. Good. So the Baisa tells us what should happen. And what should happen is he should transfer his food to somebody else so that somebody else can cook for him. Now, V'i Isa Lifni Avra Vafa, Mutter. Why doesn't the Baisa make the other point? Which is that if he cooks the food anyway, so then it works. But the Gemara says to that, that's not a strong question. Amar Rav Ada Bar Amasna, Tana Tekanta, Dehetera Katani, Tekanta Deisor Lo Katani. The Gemara says, the Braisa wants to tell us what the remedy is. The Braisa doesn't want to tell us, Oh, if nevertheless, obstinate person who didn't step his erev tavshil, if he cooks it anyways, the Braisa didn't want to pursue the discussion. It may in fact work, but the Braisa is obviously much more interested in telling us at this point in time, you want to make a remedy of the situation. You didn't step an erev tavshilin. Transfer your food to somebody else. That's the best way to handle it. Tashma. Again, so right. The Gemara right now left the question. Left the question now in air, and so that's why there's more Gemara coming up. Tashma. Mishin erev eruv tavshil and harizah ofam avashol umatmin v'imrat alechos eruv harushos biado. You want to eat your eruv? That's fine. All right. The minhag Yisrael is to eat the eruv shal shiros. Okay. Now, if you happen to have eaten the erev tavshilin before cooking for Shabbos, so obviously you're stuck. You make food only for Yom Tov. If there's leftover, fine. Now, you cannot do harama. Now, if you do harama, it's going to be prohibited. In other words, on Yom Tov, your erev tavshilin, either you didn't set it up or you set it up and you ate it. Either way, you're right now on Yom Tov without an erev tavshilin. Now, it happens to be that if there's leftovers, so then you can have those leftovers on Shabbos. But you cannot do a harama, where wink at one another and say, oh, well, don't worry, we'll have leftovers. Meaning, make excessive amounts of food, so that there will be leftovers for Yom Tov, knowing that really what you're doing is you're making for Yom Tov, you're cooking for Yom Tov. So the Braisa concludes by saying that you cannot do harama. Amar Avashi. So again, the Gemara now is asking the question, we're in the middle of the discussion of Im Avar Ubisho. He didn't make an erev tavshilin, and he violated, and he cooked anyway. So the Gemara says, Amar Avashi, harama kamar shan harama dachmira barabana tfei mi mezid. Interesting. Harama is worse than mezid, says the Gemara. Meaning, using a legal loophole, which is not a legal loophole, which is just a backhanded way to get what you want to do, so that's worse than mezid. Mezid, I know what I'm doing is wrong. I happen to be right now at this point in my life, I don't care. That's not as bad as harama. And so therefore the Gemara says, so you can't compare the two. And the Braisa totally prohibits harama, but maybe mezid would be okay. Interesting. And Rashi notes, harama is that bad? Meaning Rashi reminds us of the Gemara that we learned just a couple of days ago, where we did allow for a little bit of harama. Remember the Gemara a couple of days ago? Salting of the meat. I shecht an animal on Yom Tov. The animal is humongous. We're not going to eat the entire animal over Yom Tov. So what you can do, said the Gemara just a couple days ago, is you'll salt each piece, saying to yourself, oh, this piece looks good, you salt it. Salt it, by the way, is their method of preservation, the good old days. Salt it, and then say, you know what, no. Put this aside. And you keep doing that for all the pieces of meat of the animal. No, it was an Amora. Okay, but either way. In other words, there the Gemara says, and that you could do, and that's harama. Meaning, obviously, you know, going into every piece, you're not going to choose this piece. It's just a way of salting every piece of meat. And the Gemara licensed that harama. That was okay. So Rashi notes over here, the Gemara here speaks very strongly about harama. Harama may be worse than mezid, and just a couple short days ago, the Gemara was endorsing harama. But Rashi observes this, Rashi notes, you really can't compare the two. Look at Rashi, Shani Harama, La'olam Avra Vafa Mutter, Vaharama Eino Raya Lakan, De Shani Harama Mimezid, De Ikala Memer Achmar Barabana, Baharama Tfei Mimezid. So Rashi just reiterating the conclusion of the Gemara, that no, the rabbis were more stringent by Harama. De Lomezid, Rashahu, La'avor, Al Divre Chachamim, Ve'ein Acherim Lamedim Heimenu, Vuhu Atmo Mesim Elibo, Vishav. Because Mezid, inexcusable. But you know what's wrong. And so by a mezid, okay, right now I'm not doing the right thing, but I know I'm not doing the right thing. And there's always a chance of tshuva. But lo ma'akra toros eruv, avamarim, but Rashi says, when it comes to harama, that is even worse. Savar lasos behetar hilkach lo yashiv, alibo lachzor bo. He'll never do tshuva. Now, it's a great Rashi. I didn't read the right Rashi that I wanted to. Sorry. It is a great Rashi. Explain the difference between mezid and harama. Rashi previously said that harama is prohibited over here What about the fact that the Gemara endorsed Harama just a short couple days ago? So Rashi says, by the way, I'm wrong, it's a week ago. It is not the same as Rav Adar Ba'ava. The Malach Garma Garma, the Ein Ibud Ba'ochlin. So Rashi points out a major distinction. There, we're talking about salting meat. That's not a malacha. What is a malacha? Salting hide of an animal. But there the Gemara is talking about salting meat. So you're starting with what is only an Issur Darabanan, at best, at worst. Vein Ibud Ba'ochlin, the Imishum Tircha Hadifa. Now, granted that that's unnecessary work on Yantiv, and generally speaking, we'll see over the course of this Masechta, unnecessary work on Yantiv is prohibited, but still over there, Harama in that particular scenario is okay. Ha'adifa, Rashi, Dilmachasha lo yasriach, Chabasar, Memane, Velo Shachit, Vekasa, Akadach, Duadin, La'avra, Va'afa. Okay, and Rashi explains, because if we don't allow the Harama of the salting of the meat, there is no way I'm shechting an entire animal on Yantiv, and I'm going to lose, what, 50, 60% of the animal? Just simply because we're not going to be able to consume it on Yantiv? So you know what, I'm not going to shecht it altogether. The Chachamim were sensitive to that. The Chachamim wanted us to have Simchas Yantiv, so therefore you shecht. And yeah, you could do a little bit of legal manipulation in terms of salting the entire meat, but if it's not an issur to begin with, it's not an issur d'oraisa to begin with, ein ibud ba'ochlin, and if they don't allow us to do that, we're not going to shecht the animal altogether. So there, explainable why Harama there is okay. Here, so Harama is not okay. Okay, back to the Gemara. We're on Yudzayin Amud Beis. We're about a third of the way down. Rav Nachman Yisgamar Hamani Chananya Hivaliba De Beishami Detanya. So the Gemara says that the author of this brace is Chananya Detanya Chananya Omer Beishami Omer Main Ofen Ela Imkain Irav Bepas Vein Mavashin Ela Imkain Irav Betavshil Vein Tomnin Ela Imkain Hayu Chamim Temune Me Erev Yom Tov. In order to bake, you have to have baked foods before Yantav. In order to cook, you need cooked foods before Yantav. In order to do hatmana, you need to have hatmana foods, insulated foods before Yantav. You make only but one tafshil, and that will be enough for your Erev tafshilin. So once again, the Gemara just simply says, maybe that entire discussion that we just saw was Aliba de Beis Shammai, not according to Beis Hillel, and again, we're still left with the question unresolved. Question that was asked on the bottom of the previous Amud. If I didn't make my Erev Tefshilin, and I'm a habitual offender, so I can't cook, and if I do, Avar, so what becomes of the food that I cooked? So right now, we left the question in the air. The Gemara now will still try to resolve it. Tanan. So the Gemara here can now quote the Mishnah, Maisa Perusa B'Shabbos B'Shogi Yochel B'Meza Lo Yachal. I take off Chumas HaMaisas on Shabbos. You can't do that. It is rabbinically prohibited for taking Chumas HaMaisas off on Shabbos. And I did it. So, B'Mezid, if I do it intentionally, knowing that the rabbis prohibited me from doing so, I cannot benefit from the food that I took off Chumas HaMaisas. So here what just happened. I violate Nisr D'Rabbanan, and can I benefit from the result? B'Mezid? No. So now it seems like we can answer our Erev Tefshilin question. So the Gemara says, I can make a distinction. In the case of Trumas and Maestros, could be that there's other food. Could be. In the case of Erev Tefshilin, I'm stuck. I don't have any other food. Meaning I was planning on cooking from Yantiv to Shabbos. So maybe we could be more, excuse me, I'm sorry. Maybe we can be more lenient going from Yantiv to Shabbos. Tashma. Hamat bokel b'Shabbos b'Shogi yishamish behem b'mezel lo yishamish behem. Toveling my dishes on Yantiv or on Shabbos. So let's just deal with Shabbos. But say it's going to be the same basic point. I tovel my kelim on Shabbos. Again, I'm rabbinically forbidden from doing so. That is the next daf of Gemara. Okay, but what if I do it? And I do it I do it intentionally. So I can't use the dishes that I just toveled in the mikvah. So once again, I violate Nisr D'Rabbanan, and I can't benefit from it. So again, lo tzricha d'yisleim mani achrini. So the Gemara says, okay, you have other dishes. Inam yefshir b'sheila, or I could borrow somebody else's dishes. But again, maybe I can't compare the two, because over here, I didn't set my Erev Tefshilin. I literally have no food going from Yantiv to Shabbos. Okay.
Questions assume that the standard for a rabbinic...
Yep, agreed.
Erev may be worth it. both right. Hanan and right. Tikkun. This is only Tikkun.
Correct. Agreed. Meaning the Gemara is looking at it as like just Issur d'Rabbanan. Without making a distinction, I too also would have preferred to have made a distinction, but you're right. Tashma mavashah b'Shabbos b'shogeg v'lo yochel b'meizel lo yochel yikuk on Shabbos. Now it's strange. I don't know why the Gemara thought, even as a havamina, this is a question. We're now talking about cooking on Shabbos. Cooking is an issur d'oraisa. But anyway, b'meizel lo yochel, if you do so intentionally, you can't eat the food. So the Gemara just simply dismisses this suggestion, issur d'Shabbos. Shani, that's issur Shabbos, that's issur d'oraisa. I don't even understand. I'm speaking now personally. I don't even understand what the havamina of the Gemara was. Okay. But anyway. Question was raised. Avar Ubisha, without for the person who didn't make his Erev Tafshilin, answer has not been arrived at in the Gemara. Whether or not it's good. Whether it would work. Okay, and finally, wrapping up now the entire Erev Tafshilin discussion in our Gemara, Beishami Ormim Shnei Tafshilin, Masis Nidlo Kiatana Detanya. So the Gemara... Unresolved.
Unresolved.
Now, what the halach is, I don't know. But think about it, though. What we're asking is, the person who didn't make Erev Tafshilin, didn't transfer his food to somebody else, cooked his food anyway, meaning, I don't know how many...
They're saying that the last point was that since that was a midoraita, that was an issue, but you got other way to strengthen the Rabbanan stance.
Correct. In other words, you could go either way. The Gemara, I'm telling you, what's clear is the Gemara doesn't resolve. Masis n'doloki aitanya. Tana. We have first a Bryce. A Bryce doesn't hold like our Mishnah. The Tanya. I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Modi Mishama Beisela. Al Shnei Tavshilin Shetzarech. You need two cooked foods. Aman Echliku Al Dago Beitza Shalav. What if I have fish with a little bit of minced egg on top of the fish? Shebeishama Armim Shnei Tavshilin Beisela Armim Tavshil Echad. Okay. The Beishama says that that's two cooked foods, and Beisela says no, that's just but one. Veshav machine pure baits of an asana socha dog, or sharitse kaplot of an asana socha dog, shein shnei tafshilin. But if you make basically chalapchas, basically, okay, right, classic Ashkenaz dish, okay, never mind. So the, but if you stuff your fish, so that's considered two cooked foods. Anyway, the point is that's a brisa. But the Braisa has both of them, Beisham and Beisel, demanding that it be two cooked foods. And then Rava says, and what's the halacha? Halacha is like our Mishnah, according to Beisel, which you only need one cooked food. Okay, and now we get to ask the question. I mentioned this yesterday, but let's just quickly ask the question and hopefully provide an answer. And now, what's Minag Yisrael? I mean, Minag Yisrael. What's halacha? So we know, we set up an Erev Tafshilin. So Erev Tafshilin is an egg and a matzah. Now, of course, it doesn't have to be an egg, but it's just very practical. It doesn't have to be matzah. It could be bread. It just happens to be the matzah is very practical. But in other words, our Erev Tafshilin is comprised of an egg and a matzah. And now, after finishing the entire Gemara, and after doing 2.5 blad of Erev Tafshilin, so now we could ask the simple question. We don't need the matzah. The egg should be sufficient. The Gemara has just concluded that all you need is Tafshil Echa. You only need one cooked food, and that's it. And that will serve as your Erev Tafshilin. And we just learned also the other day that you only need a kazayas for everybody. So in other words, one egg, which is certainly more than a kazayas, would be sufficient. And so why, Minag Yisrael, do we have an egg and a matzah? So take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos on this Amud. Am Rav Hilchza Ketanet Didan V'aliba DeBeisela Perish Rashi V'aliba DeBeisela Dekam and Tafshil Echad. Okay, so in other words, so Rashi's pshat in the Gemara, which is really straightforward, is that you only need but one tafshil. V'omer Rabbeinu Tam da'afia tzarech la'arev gam bepas. V'einu yachol afos al ha'eruv tafshil. Echad. Da'akaymalan k'rebi Eliezer damer in ofen ela al ha'afui v'ein mevashen ela al ha'mevushal. So Minag Yisrael, which is to lay down both an egg and a matzah before Yontov, is based on Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, grandson of Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam says that, yeah, the cooked food is good, but that allows you to cook. What if you want to bake? Meaning Rabbeinu Tam says that the Gemara's conclusion over here is obviously the conclusion that you only need one cooked food, but one cooked food for cooking. But if you want to bake, so then you have to leave a baked food prior to Yontif. Now, true, according to Rabbeinu Tam, Iker Chasam and a Sefer, meaning that's an important detail, and the Gemara doesn't mention that. Okay, but Rabbeinu Tam points out that if you go back to the previous Amud, so you see that Rabbi Eliezer on the previous Amud did say that. So Rabbeinu Tam says that the Gemara's conclusion over here is only vis-a-vis vis-a-vis cooking. So, and if you look at the Baal Matosas, I'm skipping all the way to the Baal. So, Omari lo malana libi lavor al divrei dodi. So the Ri says, look, my uncle, meaning Rabbeinu Tam, Ri was a nephew. My uncle, you get the whole Ashkenazic family tree here in this Tosos, right? Rashi, the grandfather, Rabbeinu Tam, his grandson. The Ri, the nephew of the Rabbeinu Tam. But anyway, my uncle says that you should lay down before Yontif, both an egg and matzah, right? A cooked food and a baked food. So, lo milani libi, lavor al divrei dodi. Sarach shnei tafshil and pat v'tafshil. And so therefore, you need two dishes. One cooked food, one baked food. V'chein amad davar, and then Tosus points out, and that's minug. Meaning that's minug yisrael, that's what's done. A cooked food and a baked food. And again, it's based on, so now, even though our Gemara's conclusion seems to be that it has to be just one cooked food, but Rabbeinu Tam says no. And the Ri says, and that's the, and I won't deviate from Rabbeinu Tam. Back to the Gemara. Achlo sha'avad harizel le'yivasho alav am rabbi naktin and hifchel b'sasso v'nechel eruvo gomer. You started the dough, meaning you're in the process of making your dough yan yantav, and you're baking for Shabbos. So you're in the process of making your dough, and right in the middle, you lose your Erev Tafshilin. Interesting. The Gemara says, no debate. Right? There's so many things that were up for controversy and debate about Erev Tafshilin. This one, no debate. You could finish the dough. In other words, you could have argued, look, I'm really sorry you're in the middle of the process, but your whole right to cook and bake is only based on your Erev Tafshilin. Once you lose your Erev Tafshilin, you lose your right. But meanwhile, here we have a follow-through halacha, right? As long as you're in the process of baking this particular bread, you can finish the baking of the bread. Okay, good. Next Mishnah. Let's begin the next Mishnah. Let's begin now the next discussion. Chal lios acher ha-Shabbos. So now at the beginning we were talking about what happens when Yantar falls out on a Friday. Now our Mishnah is going to be discussing what happens when Yantar falls out on a Sunday. So what happens when Yantar falls out on a Sunday? Obviously there's no cooking discussions to be had. You can't cook on Shabbos altogether. So we're not going to be discussing cooking from Shabbos to Yantar, but there are other things that you could do from Shabbos to Yantar. So Beit Shammai says everything needs to be toveled before Shabbos. In other words, for Yantav. So that means all your kelim, all your clothing, whatever needs tefillah b'mikvah has to be done before Shabbos, not on Shabbos. And you yourself, if you need a tefillah, Beit Shammai says, you have to tovel before Shabbos. You can't tovel on Shabbos. And Beis Hillel says that you could tovel. You must tovel all your kelim before Shabbos. And by kelim, I mean both your utensils and your clothing. All that has to be tovel before Shabbos. But you yourself, you want to go to the mikvah on Shabbos? Go ahead. Enjoy. The Adam b'Shabbos. Vishavim. Now they both agree. Shemashikin asamayim b'kli evin l'taharan. You could do hashaka on Shabbos. What is hashaka? We've gone over this a couple of times. Hashaka does not come up that often, but hashaka is a way of being metaher water. When food becomes tamei, so that is really the end of the food, meaning there is no tahara for food. Food is not subject to tahara. You can't take a tamei apple, tovel in the mikvah, it doesn't work. Mikvah only is metaher a person or kalim. It's not going to be metaher food. I say that, and that's across the board true, except for water. Water can achieve a tahara in a mikvah, but not through what's called tefillah, but rather what's called hashaka. Doesn't look that radically different. First of all, how do you tovel water in a mikvah? Everyone visualizing. I take the water, I pour into the mikvah. Now I'm going to recover the water. Obviously not. You're going to lose the water. So what you do is you take a bowl. And the bowl has water in it. The water is tameh. However, the water becomes tameh, and you drop it into the mikvah, and all you do is allow just a little communication between the mikvah water and the water in the bowl, and that little communication now creates what's called hashaka. Now you lift the bowl up, and now your water is good to go. Now, granted, your water has a little bit of mikvah water in it, and I don't know who's going to really want to drink it. Far from the point. Your water now has gone through a tahara. This is a tahara called hashaka. It's not tefillah b'mikvah. It's called hashaka. How does hashaka work? look at Rashi, right here in the Mishnah. Rashi, first wide line, Mishi Shlamayim Yafin, Lishtos Benitmu, Mamala Mam Kli Evin, Venosim Ben Mikva, Maim Malum, Achim Meshik Maim Lamayim. So Rashi over here describes Hashaka, by the way, should have made this point clear. The word Hashaka means like a kiss. In other words, all you need is just a small kiss between the water in the bowl and the water in the mikvah. V'nimtzu'u eila zeruin u'mechubarim. And that what that does is basically it's like I'm replanting the water. So lemei ha'mikvah u'batle agabaihu v'tiaro. So Rashi says it's like zriya, it's like replanting. Right? You have a seed, which is tameh. You take the seed, you plant it in the ground. It sprouts new growth. Is that new growth tameh? No way. No, it's not. Meaning that new growth is new. It's totally a new entity. And so Rashi over here gives this analogy in terms of how to understand Hashaka. When you take the water, you're quote unquote planting it back into the water. It emerges. It's fine. It's good. But again, this is not tevila. This is what's called Hashaka. And it only works for water. And that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. B'kli Evan L'Taran. Avalo Matbilin. Umatbilin migav legavu mechabur lechabura. And then you could do a tevila from literally back to back and from group to group. You don't know what that means. The Gemara is going to discuss it. We will wait for the Gemara's discussion to explain what that means. Okay. Dekule alma mias kli b'Shabbos lo. I cannot tova kelim on Shabbos. Meaning there was a lot of debate in the Mishnah. Actually, not a lot. You can't tova in the mikvah according to Beis Shammai. According to Beis Hillel, you can. We'll get to that discussion. But meanwhile, what's clear in the Mishnah is that you have either clothing or a kli, which needs tefillah. You cannot do that on Shabbos. It's prohibited from doing so. And why not? My taima. So what's the reason why? So we're going to give no less than four different explanations over the course of today's daf. Amar Rabba Gzera Shema Yelena Biyadov Yavirena Arba Amos Bereshus HaRabim. Rabba is consistent. I say it's consistent, meaning Gzera de Rabba. Rabba says I can't blow shofar on Shabbos. Rabba says I can't take lulav on Shabbos. Why not? Gzera Shema Yavirena Dal Amos Bereshus HaRabim. I may carry it for Amos and Bereshus HaRabim, and the same thing is true regarding Megillah as well. When Purim and Shabbos coincide, I can't read Megillah on Shabbos. Again, Gzera Shema Yavirena. Here, true to form, Rabbi says that the reason why you can't tovel kelim on Shabbos is because the mikvah is over there, I'm over here, it may require me to carry on Shabbos, and so therefore the Chachamim banned tefillah for fear that I may end up carrying. So what if you have a mikvah in your own home? No need to make a gzera. I'm like gzera bor b'chatzir atu bor b'shus harabim. Basically, the Gemara's answer is lo plug. No, once a chachamim made a ban, so it happens to be that the ban doesn't apply to you, but so what? In other words, the ban prohibits me from toveling, and even though you're exempt from the ban, that doesn't matter. Lo plug rabbanan. Hatenech Shabbos beyond to Michael and Mamer. I understand that this ban would be true for Shabbos, because on Shabbos there's a prohibition of carrying. There's no prohibition of carrying on Yontif. Gazer Yontif atu Shabbos. So the Gemara says again, lo plug. We're not going to differentiate. So the Gemara says, really? We don't differentiate? Okay, let's go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you could do a shaka, but only in a stone kli. I didn't explain this in the Mishnah, but now let's take the opportunity. Why a stone kli? A stone is impervious to tuma. It doesn't become tame, it doesn't become tahor. It is totally impervious to tuma. So therefore, all I'm doing when I'm dropping the bowl into the water is only hashaka to the water. So, but if I have, let's say, a utensil, and I'm doing hashaka with water and the utensil happens to be tameh, then no. Then I can't do hashaka. Because as a matter of incidence, not only will I be doing hashaka to the water, but I'll also be toveling the, I'll be being mitar the kli. So the Mishnah says that you can't do. So the Gemara says, okay, what do you mean? And now, you're not differentiating, you are differentiating. If the water that I want to do hashaka is in a stone utensil, no. If the water is in a kli, no. So the Gemara says, Okay, so you just differentiated. So which the Gemara's response is, okay, but here, we're going to differentiate, and I'm going to tell you why we're going to differentiate. Because over here, if you're doing hashaka, you're obviously desperate. Meaning, what do you need right now? Water. Right? In other words, if you had other water to drink, you wouldn't be taking your drinking water and putting it anywhere near the mikvah. The fact that you're going through this process of hashaka obviously means you need drinking water. You're at a point of desperation. So here, if the chachamim allow this, it won't come on to other acts of tefillah b'mikvah. Esvei madlin b'dli tameh v'hu tahor. I could draw water in a bucket. And even if the bucket requires a tefillah, and even if the bucket actually achieves the tefillah, it's okay. Now, once again, so the Gemara says, okay, you just allowed the toveling of a bucket on Shabbos. So once again, the Chachamim were mekel, because again, what are you doing? You're drawing water for drinking. So in other words, the Chachamim are not going to prevent you on Shabbos from drinking water, from obtaining drinking water. And even if the bucket receives a tefillah, okay, we're going to be mekel. Yeah, something along those lines. If a kli becomes tame on yantiv, you could tovel on yantiv. And again, we're clearly differentiating. So again, the Gemara says over here, not subject to the rabbinic prohibition. Because yantiv, remember, everybody's toveling before yantiv. The chance of a kli becoming tamei on yantiv is really minimal. And we know, as a general rule, if it's something which is not shchiach, lo gazer bei rabbanan. And the Gemara challenges again, kli shenitma bava tamei in matbil nasal b'yamtov, bevlada tamei matbil nasal b'yamtov. If your kli is tamei with a vlada tuma, you tovel it on yantiv. V'imisa nigzer ha tu ha. Again, you were differentiating A versus Vlad. So the Gemara says, Vlad etumeich, mishkachala gabi koanim, koanim zrizimeim. So which the Gemara says, okay, your kli now is a derivative tumah. It's not even an ava tumah. Who cares? I mean, we all do, but I'm saying, but who does it affect? Kohanim. Because remember, Kohanim are eating the truma. Remember, truma will become tummy even by coming into contact with a Vlad. So now, this, we're in the realm of Kohanim. Kohanim are given a special status. There's Zrizim, and therefore they could tovel. Tashma dam Rav Chia bar Ashi amar Rav Nida shein la begadim aremes v'tovans bebegadel. A woman who is a nida who needs to tovel in the mikvah, and it happens to be that she doesn't have anything to wear for the next day of Yontif, or for that Shabbos. So what she could do as a harama is that she could tovel in the mikvah while wearing clothing. Okay, you'll ask me about chatzitza. I read your mind. Don't ask me about chatzitza. Okay, the clothing is loose fitting, it's not a chatzisa. But anyway, she's toveling her clothing. She's toveling her clothing in such an unusual manner by wearing the clothing and going into the mikvah. The Gemara says, again, a special dispensation can be carved out for her. Okay, I know I went over time, I just wanted to finish that thread. Again, now, the Mishnah tells us they can't tovel kelim on Shabbos. Why not? So right now we just finished answer number one. There are three more coming. Answer number one is, Rabbah, I may end up carrying in a Rishos HaRabim. That's not true for Yontiv. It's not true for a number of other scenarios. So the Gemara generally says, Lo Plug. At the same time, the Gemara says, there are a couple of Heterim that are carved out within the Issa D'Rabbanan of not toveling. And Hashaka is a totally different story and a whole different discussion. Okay, finished the discussion today of Erev Tavshilin. We wrapped up the 2.5 blot of Gemara discussing Erev Tavshilin, up to and including the halacha that if you started, you can, and you lose your Erev Tavshilin, you can finish. And then the new Mishnah that talks about toveling in the mikvah, and why can't I tovel in the mikvah on Shabbos, kelim in the mikvah. You yourself can go to the mikvah. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. But why can't I tovel my kelim in the mikvah? Four approaches of the Gemara, of which today we only accomplished but one.